Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Glenn and Paul for allowing me to take the pulpit tonight, and the elders also for allowing me to be here to give you a report on the India work that Lisa and I have been involved in for quite a few years. We are overjoyed with this work, and I guess if you've ever talked to me about it, you know that I do. I never stop talking about India. And the thrill of going there. And so I'd like to tell you a little bit about that work tonight. But I also want to thank you. There's several of you here who donated money to buy saris for the widows there. I think the ladies' night out had decided to do this as a project back last spring. And so there was enough money given by the people of this congregation here to purchase 500 saris for the widows in India there. And so it's a great blessing for them. And as you see, as we go through this presentation, it's a very poor country. It's the poorest of the poor. And so they have nothing. And for them to receive that one dress to do them for a year means the world to them. India, second most populous country in the world to China, and they predict that in a few years that India will be the most populous country in the world. Where we work is in the Andhra Pradesh state. It's circled on the map there that you see. That state is probably is around 60,000 square miles. The state of Alabama is a little over 50,000 square miles. The state of Alabama has, like, I think, 4.5 million people. That state has 50 million people. And yet, it is, as you'll see in the pictures, it's a wild country. It's a lot of mountains and a lot of open land, and so it tells you that a lot of the people live in the cities. Hyderabad is the capital of it. There's several other bigger cities that have several million people that are in there. But predominantly, it is a Hindu nation, and they worship idols there. In 1972, Brother J.C. Bailey was urged to go to India to preach the gospel. He was a Canadian. The Indian government would not allow American missionaries in, and he had a Canadian passport, so he went to the Andhra Pradesh state. When he was there teaching, he met a man by the name of B. Ratnam. B. Ratnam was a government official. He worked for the Education Department of the state of India, and he was over a region there. He lived in a city called Rampa, which was just a small village out in the tribal areas, the mountains. Brother Bailey tried to teach him the gospel. Well, Brother B. Ratnam threw rocks at him. He said that was trash. He didn't want to hear that. He was a Hindu. But he got to thinking about it, and he obeyed the gospel. He was consumed by the gospel. Before long, he had taught many of his contemporaries in the educational system there. In just a few short years, there were over 6,000 Christians there with about 15 or 16 preachers. Today, the work is overseen by Willette Church of Christ in Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee. The elders there oversee that work. Today, there's about 1,500 preachers there. There's 4,000 congregations of the Lord's church there. There's about 500,000 Christians there. There are 8 orphans homes there. There are 7 widows homes there. There's a lot of work being done, and there's a lot of work to be done there. But it is amazing. It's a very loving and kind people. And when you preach the gospel to them, they accept it. As you can guess, they're not spoiled by TV and a lot of the things that we are spoiled with in this world and where we live in this country here. There's no hope for them as far as the government is concerned. These people are the lowest of the low. They're low-caste people. And the caste system in India is a terrible thing. If you're low-caste, you have no chance of coming out of the low-caste. And you're considered trash, and you're considered only good for doing the things that the high-caste people would not do. And so when you preach the gospel to them, it offers them hope. For the first time in their life, they have hope. And it's amazing to see people who really appreciate the hope of the gospel there. This is a typical house that you're going to see out in the country. They live like this probably for 1,000 years. Their day consists of coming up with what they're going to eat that day. That's it. And I sit and I think about it and I see these people and I think, well, you know, how well God has blessed me. And I come back almost feeling ashamed. But then I think, you know, really, they're living the dream. They live day by day, and that's how we should be living in day by day. That's all they worry about there. That's what a lot of the roads look like. You travel through it, it's winter time there, but it was 90 degrees in the daytime, and it's hot, it's humid. It's hard to get around in places. There are some paved roads, a good bit of paved roads, but there are a lot of gravel roads and with holes in them and things. We went out where one evening we got to go out to dedicate some church buildings, and we were making our trip here. It was in an area that there is a heavy concentration of a group they call Knox Lights. Knox Lights are communist guerrillas who fight the government on a daily basis over there. And they always tell us, well, if we're going in Knox Light country, we got to be back before dark. It was way after dark before we got back. A tree fell across the road, and we sat for an hour and a half there trying to get it out of the way so we could come home. Every trip I've been, we've been into Knox Light country, and it's always after dark when we get back. And so God is taking care of us. But Brother B. Ratnam has had such an influence on the Knox Lights because he has compassion on the people that they don't bother us. And they appreciate what he's done for them there. I told you that the church there has about 4,000 congregations. The majority of those congregations meet like this right here in a grass hut. And I think Glenn mentioned this last week in his sermon when he was in Africa about being in those grass huts there. They meet. But their goal is to get them a church building there. And if they grow to at least 50 people, members there, and can get land, then as funds are available, they'll build them a church building for them to meet in there. But majority of them meet just like this, or meet in a house, or might meet under trees or whatever, but they're growing. This is a typical church building that you'll find there in India. This building right here cost $4,500 to build. And for another $500, you can put a baptistry in it. A lot of places that you go to, they don't have water, so it's no good. It doesn't do you any good to put a baptistry in it because there's no water available, even to fill the baptistry up. Lisa and I were at a village. We're preaching a dedication of a building this time, and we had three who wanted to be baptized. We had to take them about 5 miles to get water that was deep enough for them to be baptized in. I have seen them take them to streams that were only about that deep. They will set them down in that stream and then baptize them, lay them back to make sure that they are immersed. And they have to travel to do this in a lot of cases there. This is a typical kitchen, ladies. If you live in one of those huts, this is what you're going to get up to every morning to cook your rice on and cook your curry. This is the kitchen, matter of fact, at one of the children and orphans homes there that we visited. But this is typical of what you will find there in that part of the country. This is a group of orphans and widows there at Cheetapalem there. They're gathered together. Lisa and I had the opportunity to go out to this children's home and to carry the saris to the widows there. We also carried blankets to the children and carried a few toys for those children there in that at that place there. That's where the widows sleep. That's their possessions. That's all they have. They have that sari that they wear, and they have a bed to sleep in. The widows' homes and the orphans' homes are put together, and the widows have to work taking care of the orphans. They have to help teach them. They have to help bathe them and mend their clothes and cook for them, and they're their mothers for them there. That's where the orphans sleep. They all sleep together on those four beds that are pushed together there, and they pile up on those together so they can stay warm. And again, it's wintertime over there. It's probably got down around 60, 65 at night there in this region there, but they freeze to death. I had preachers coming into my class with earmuffs on and toboggans and coats on, and they were freezing to death, and I was sweating. We didn't have air conditioning, but it's cold to them. But these children, they are getting there some candy and getting some toys to play with, but they're well taken care of. They're happy children, and they are going to be well taken care of. These children are taught the Bible twice daily, 7 days a week. These children are carried to school. They go to school. They will have an opportunity to go to college or go to a trade school there. Their marriage will be arranged with another orphan. 95% of these orphans will be Christians, faithful Christians. It's changing their lives. If they were not in this home, they would be on the street and probably starved to death by now. The government does not help them. This is the widows there who with Lisa, who got their saris, they are so tickled to get those. I've been there before when we were handing out saris at the widows' homes, and there would be widows from the community who were not members of the church and were not in this, and they would chase our vehicle wanting those saris. Then if we ever stopped, they'd just flog you, and they would holler and holler and holler till we finally give them one to keep from having to run over them. And that's just how poor they are and how bad they want one there. Here's the children. They got all blankets, got new blankets this time. And so they can pile up on their beds with their blankets, and they'll certainly stay warm. But they were tickled to death to have that there. This is a typical meeting of the Lord's people upon the Lord's day. That was on Sunday, and I had the privilege of preaching at this congregation on Sunday morning there. I told those people that in about 12 hours that their brothers and sisters in West Huntsville would be gathering together to do the same thing that they were doing there, to worship God, the very same way that they were worshiping God, that the scriptures unite us, and that even though we're worlds apart and we speak different languages, we're all worshiping God. You'll notice the men are sitting in the back there on one side. The women are sitting on the other side. And then women are sitting down in front there. And then all the children sit down in front there. And that's the way they worship. You don't sit together as husband and wife. You separate yourself and you sit there. You can see they're sitting in the floor. And that typical building that I showed you a while ago, they'll seat about 200 people in there. There's no benches. There might be a few chairs, but they will all sit in the floor like that, and you can put a lot of people in one building there. These are preachers who come to the teaching classes that we were holding. Our primary reason for being there in the fall is to train preachers and train preachers' wives there. If a preacher shows that he's willing to work and that he's doing what he should be as a preacher, he'll be given a bicycle. Because I told you a while ago, there's 1,500 preachers and 4,000 congregations, so most preachers are preaching at least three places on every Sunday. They have three different congregations to go to preach to. And so if they're really spread out, they need a bicycle. That bicycle costs about $100, I think, and they are tickled to death to have it. They will, on the last day of our teaching sessions, they'll meet there at Brother Ratnam's place and start petitioning for a bicycle or for other things that they want to try to get there. And based on how well they're doing and how well the funds are available, then they try to help them with that, to do that. There's some preachers who are getting loudspeakers. These loudspeakers are not to go in their buildings. They're to go on the outside of their buildings. There's a loudspeaker on the outside of each building, just about, and each Sunday when they preach to the whole village. They preach to the whole town. Of course, we'd probably be put in jail here if we did that. But they preach the gospel every Sunday to that whole community through those loudspeakers there. And then those are Petromax lamps. Those guys with those bicycles, there's no lights on them. And if you're preaching at three different congregations, you're riding a bicycle, it may be way after dark before you get home. We're talking about in a land that's full of leopards. There's tigers, there's bears, there's wolves. And so there's a lot of danger there, plus the king cobra and other things there. So there's a lot of danger, but they value having these Petromax. They run off of kerosene, and that's their light when they're traveling. Here are some widows who received the sewing machine. They're not widows who can be taken into the care of the church. They're younger. They have children. The society over there is such that if you're widowed, you never remarry again. They just don't do that. And it doesn't matter at what age. You're going to be a widow all your life. And so they have to be able to take care of themselves. And so these ladies get refurbished sewing machines. You noticed electric motors on them too, didn't you? They're foot pedal, like our grandparents had, our grandmother had there. They're all foot pedal, but this gives these ladies an opportunity to have an income for themselves and for their children to take care of themselves. This is the church building in Tooney. This is one of the two major cities that the preachers gather at for the training classes. This is a beautiful building here. Brother Solomon, who is the son-in-law of Brother B. Ratnam, built this building with his inheritance from his father. This building is on Highway 5, which is the main, I call it interstate, but it's not really an interstate. It's a racetrack up the east coast of India, and it sits right on that highway. It's very prominent there. It's a very beautiful building. I was fortunate enough in 2002 to be there when they opened that building, and we were traveling over to Tooney. I'd never been there before, and Brother Ratnam said, Brother Glenn, you'll preach tonight. And I said, okay. I didn't know where we were going. We got there, and there was about 1,500 people there. The most I'd ever preached to was 40 or 50 people. And I thought, I'll never be able to do this. But I did. And Brother Jack Honeycutt, who is the U.S. coordinator for this work, he told him, said, you'll preach too. He said, Brother Glenn, you encourage the brethren, and Brother Jack, you preach the gospel. There were 100 and something people who were baptized that night there. But that is the main congregation in the Tooney area. They have about 700 or 800 members there. And by the way, about 30% of the churches there, the congregations there, are self-supporting. They have elders now, and they're independent, and they're on their own. They're able to take care of themselves, and that is the goal of our training classes that we do every November, is to be able to train the preachers, to train men to become elders and deacons, and to help the congregations to be self-supporting, independent, growing and doing what they should, and it's happening there. That is at the Rampa area there. That's the preachers after the training class are gathered there. They always have a picture made with everybody together there, and you can see there's quite a few of them that were there. I think we had probably around 700 preachers this time in both locations. Don Blackwell and Mark Teske with the GBN was with us this time. Many of you may know them. They were there. They did some preaching, and then they were doing some filming and stuff. And if you get the GBN, there will be a series on the Indian work that they're producing for that. So watch for that there. I'll be a movie star in that. So, no. This was the first time this year we were able to teach young people. This is an engineering school. It's actually on the side of the church building there in Rampa. There is a engineering school there. There is a trade school there. There is a high school and a grammar school there. There is a school of preaching, and then a hospital that's on that site there. But this is the first time that we've been able to do this. Most of these kids, some of these are orphans that have come through the system over there and are now in the School of Engineering there. Most of them are Hindus. And I'm glad to say that out of this class, there were 6 people were baptized who were taught the gospel while we were there for a couple of days there. This is the ladies, the preachers, after the preachers' meeting there in Rampa. They always want to gather for a picture, too, there. This is a baptism. This takes place. There at Rampa, they have the baptistries are always outside the building. They're just a concrete pit that you see here, and they have water there to be able to fill it up. In the top picture, you'll notice a man over to your to the right there in that blue checkered shirt. He's a gospel preacher. Hasn't been converted long, a couple of years. He brought a lot of these people who are being baptized here now. He brought them there. He'd been teaching them. and he had not been able to persuade them to obey the gospel. They came to the ladies' classes, and they heard the lessons, and they were persuaded to obey the gospel. This preacher can neither read or write. And I got to see his Bible, and he has symbols in his Bible that tells him what the stories are. And that's how he preaches the gospel, by symbols that he's written in his Bible. He doesn't let reading and writing handicap him. He's been responsible for a lot of people obeying the gospel. And I think you can see the smile on his face, but I watched him during the baptism, and he was so thrilled each time one of those people were baptized and babes in Christ there. In the bottom picture, you'll see a young lady who's being baptized, and I just happened to be watching pretty close, and I know that the man who's baptizing her reached up there. She had a Hindu symbol between her eyes there, they're just stuck on there. And before he would baptize her, he pulled that Hindu symbol off and throwed it out in the yard there. She's no longer a Hindu. She is going to be a Christian there. A lot of these people pay a heavy price for obeying the gospel. Their families will reject them. They'll not have a home anymore. They're kicked out of their families, especially if a high caste person obeys the gospel. They're disinherited. They lose their inheritance. They lose everything. They'll have nothing to do with them. I met a widow there last year. She and her husband had obeyed the gospel. They'd gone back to their village, and their congregation had grown. He had given the land to build a church building there. They were building a church building. He was helping working on it. His brothers, his earthly brothers, came while he was working on the church building, beat him to death because he had obeyed the gospel and because he gave land for a church building to be built there. These people over there pay their lives to be a Christian, and it happens quite often. They know what persecution is. It's me preaching at a little congregation. We were dedicating the building there. It was our last day. We were traveling. Lisa and I were traveling alone that day. But this is where we preached. There were three people who obeyed the gospel. We had to carry them about 5 or 6 miles to find water to actually behind a dam and a lake where they could be baptized there. But you'll notice the building is very colorful. The ceiling up there, this is typical of those buildings, but they wrap newspapers around those beams up there there to decorate them. And, of course, that's their table there and everything, and they're just tickled to death to have a building. When you get there, they'll meet you with a pan full of flower petals, and they're going to throw those all over you. And they're not worshiping you. That's their custom. That's how they welcome you. And they want to put a garland around your neck of flowers. They'll spend everything they got to do that. But it's their custom. It bothered me when I first started doing that they did all this stuff. But then when I realized that it's not religious at all, it's them welcoming you with everything that they have. We finished preaching that day. We handed out Bibles. Most of us have a Bible at home. 2 or 3, 4 or 5 Bibles. I hope everyone has brought a Bible with them tonight. These people give anything for one copy of the Bible. An Old Testament, a New Testament. It's their most prized possession that they have. It costs $2.50 to purchase a Bible for these people over there. And you should have seen them when they got this. They were so thrilled to have God's Word in Telugu that they could read for themselves and study and grow as Christians. They can teach from that Bible. And I guarantee you they'll wear it out where most of ours will never get worn out. I want you to look at this young girl's face. She was one of the participants, young people who were in the classes there, and she is so locked in to what's being said. And this is typical of the people there. They are just thrilled for somebody to teach them. There were, I think, 6 young girls in this class who obeyed the gospel after the class was taught there. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's our presentation. When we go to villages to preach the gospel there, we preach the plain gospel. We preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We preach the one church. You see, these people are all around them, and they are idols to every kind of God that you can imagine. There's a monkey god, there's a bull god, there's a snake god, there's everything that you can imagine. And those idols have never done one thing for them. Does not give them any hope whatsoever. And we preach the gospel to them, and it's the first thing that they've heard in their lives that offers them hope. We hear the gospel preached numerous times here in the United States. And I wonder if there's someone sitting in this audience tonight that's heard the gospel preached over and over and over and have never responded to it. How many invitations have you been through? How many more chances will you get? You may not have never have another chance to obey the gospel. Tonight may be your last chance to obey the gospel. The gospel is the good news about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ that gives us hope of eternal life. And the simple steps of obeying the gospel is to hear it and to believe it, to repent of our sins and to confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to be baptized into Christ. It may be that you're here, that you've obeyed the gospel, but you haven't been very faithful. Your Bible's been sitting back and never been opened in a long time. But you don't cherish God's word like some people in this world cherish God's word. That you're just playing being a Christian. We're not required to give our lives in this country to be a Christian. Maybe if we did, maybe a lot of people would be more faithful than what they are. But if there's any way that we can help you tonight, we'd be glad to do that. We ask you to come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.